Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
The Men's Room presents Profile This.
Hey, Stephen Thrill-Hill, could you please serve everyone out? Profile This is played.
I sure can, Miles. It's a simple game where we share with you a real-life news story. Something that happened right here on planet Earth.
Earth, 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 Earth.
And as you listen to the story, based on the stereotypes you believe to be true of people and the decisions that people make, we'll ask you what it is you think makes the story a story. Now, today, you gentlemen will be competing against one another.
Game on.
You have your choice of one of three categories. We have bite me. In other words, what did someone find in their food? Hit me with your best shot, where you guess the unconventional object someone used as a weapon. And finally today, animalize this, where you guess the animal responsible for causing the problem.
Bite me, dude.
Just eat it.
See, I never know how to take it when you say it. But here's the story. Reports,
the way it sounds.
Reports of foreign items found in food items such as sausages and dim sum across different regions of China have sparked a major food safety scare. On October 13th, a woman in Jilin province, she discovered such items in a sausage bought for her child. Simultaneously, two more of the same objects were found in dim sum at a popular restaurant in Dongguan City, while another of the same items surfaced in a walnut cake purchased in Shanghai. Now, authorities in multiple provinces, they've launched thorough investigations into these, quote, shocking incidents. Now, consumers express outrage as items were found in common food products across three different provinces in China. The vendor of the sausage initially denied the presence, but apologize after market supervisors intervene. The dim sum restaurant stated their product came directly from central production, unable to explain the contamination. Meanwhile, a well-known supermarket chain in Shanghai, they acknowledged the incident and promised an immediate investigation. Again, this is walnut cakes, dim sum, and sausages. So these items are just getting spread around everywhere. Food safety authorities, they have since intensified inspections and enforcement actions in implicated factories and outlets. Now, some speculate that the objects may have accidentally fallen from workers during food production. Compensation claims and official investigations are underway, although previous similar cases often ended with private settlements, underscoring the need for greater transparency and systemic reform. In the meantime, the question is, what were people finding in the food across China, no matter what the food was? Was it human teeth? Was it cigarette butts? Was it latex bits, as in from gloves? Or was it Band-Aids? So teeth, cigarette butts, latex bits, or Band-Aids. What are people finding? No matter what kind of food they are getting, these objects keep showing up. Again, a walnut cake in one province, two separate restaurants in the dim sum in a different province, and then a third province and a sausage.
I like cigarette butts.
For the record, it sounds like a lovely meal. A couple sausages, a little dim sum.
It really does.
And a walnut cake.
Yeah, seriously. Like, you're eating right.
Yeah, cigarette butts feels right, but honestly, it's kind of spooky. They keep finding human teeth, dude.
Human teeth?
Human teeth.
See, and I think that there's a lot of hands on all these products, and I think that there's a lot of little latex bits that they're finding
latex
in all of the places.
And we're hoping it's from gloves.
Yeah.
What did they find there in China in the food? Was it human teeth, cigarette butts, latex bits, or Band-Aids? We will find out next.
That was a tease.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to The Men's Room.
The debauchery rolls on. You're listening to The Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Categories by me on profile this: foreign items found in different areas of China. And everything from sausage to dim sum and cakes. Mm-hmm. It was the same in all of those foods. Question is, what were they finding? Human teeth, cigarette butts, latex bits, or Band-Aids?
And let us start with Miles Montgomery. You went with the old cigarette butts, which makes sense. They suspect it's coming from human beings.
Nope.
It is not. I want to say China is one of the heaviest smoking populations, too. Like, I want to say in the States, it's right around 12% of people smoke. China, I just read this, like 41% of people smoke.
Wow.
So, and they don't really care if you smoke in a factory, whatever. Makes sense. Not the right answer. Mike, you went with latex bits.
Ah, damn.
Assuming gloves.
Yeah.
Ted hopes it's gloves. It is not that. And Ted, you went with human teeth.
Human teeth.
Unfortunately,
oh, no
you
way.
Are correct.
Oh, that is just, it's no the most disturbing way. One, so that's why I took it.
Right? Why are human teeth falling into the food?
I don't know.
What you got to consider, it's not like they're pouring them in there. These are clearly falling out of the mouths of their workers.
But it's so many different types of food. Across it, and China is a very large country.
Yes.
Like the States, right? Three different provinces, and human teeth are showing up in your walnut cakes, your dim sum.
Well, that's just
there
about
is
the,
no food.
There's no dentistry.
Yeah, that told you.
Well, and the smoking rate.
And there you go.
Now for all TV news all the time, it's time for TV Time with Ted.
And now, because your pathetic life is confined to countless hours in front of a talking box, The Men's Room presents TV Time with Ted.
All right, your choices today. You got Seth Meyers. You got the Jimmys.
Fallon and Kimmel.
Colbert.
Steven.
Or Ted Smith.
Is it Ted or is it Late Night?
And it's right there. The title is, guys, have teams of talented writers go up to the monologues each and every night. It is up to you to determine, is this an actual late night joke and from whom? Or could it be a V. Ted Smith original?
CEO Starbucks says the consumers may now be able to order drinks with AI by simply talking to their phones. Wow. Talking into your phone to place an order. The future is here.
V. Ted Smith.
Fallon.
Fallon.
The CEO of Starbucks said that customers may soon be able to order drinks with AI by simply talking to their phones. Wow. Talking into a phone to place an order? The future is here.
The brewer of Busch Light is hosting the largest private gathering of people named Hunter. The previous record was held by any lacrosse team.
Me too, man.
Seth Meyers.
Damn it.
The brewer of Busch Light is planning to host the largest private gathering of people named Hunter. The previous record was held by every lacrosse team.
I figured lacrosse would throw you guys off.
That's absolutely what it is.
The rare moment where Ted's excitement is not about his own joke, but about the fact that somebody else's joke sounds like what he would write.
Yeah. And lacrosse, man.
Busch Light and lacrosse, man.
A man in Kentucky who's been struck by lightning not once, but twice, which is harder than hitting the lottery, has questions. Many like, why me?
Ted Smith.
Seth.
That was me. Seriously, the article was like, now he knows when storms are coming. Like, I bet he does.
Yes. Yeah.
Look out.
The Louvre is back open after falling victim to a jewel heist. People saw how long the line were and were like, we could just go through the window.
Seth.
Well, Fallon.
That's Jimmy Fallon.
The Louvre reopened for the first time since Sunday's massive heist. Yep, people saw the long line and were like, we can just go through the window.
Yeah. Now, do you guys ever watch any of the trashy dating shows?
Yes.
I do not.
Well, I know Mike does. Love is Blind or what was the one that was like?
Love Island.
Love Island. Is that? And there was one that I used to watch on Netflix during the pandemic where they have all these hot people together and there's a pot of money. But if you hook up, you lose money or whatever. But like, they're all hot. They're obviously sexually active. So sometimes you look at them and you're like, they got to be crawling with disease, right?
Dating around? The later daters?
Well, you'd be wrong. Apparently, reality contestants, right, who they, as they say, are some of the sleaziest people on TV, they have to do a bunch of tests. TMZ spoke with a reality TV casting director named Kristen Mall. So she talked about it, what it takes to make the cast. She said, quote, if you're living in a house, you're going to go through a bunch. You're going to go to a background check, psychological test. People are exploring each other. So there's going to be STD test. She says you can imagine that knocks out quite a few people in the running.
I bet it does. So. Although, to be, I would go on that show to lose. If you have sex, you don't win this money.
I bet a lot of people find out they have an STD from that.
I bet you they do.
Yeah, he was too hot to handle. Well, that show, the whole idea was, though, like, you're all there, and you kind of agree, like, all right, there's 10 of us, or whatever it was. Like, so there's, like, $1 million. Like, we're all going to get, like...
$100,000.
Right? And then old Thrill's like,
you're going to get more.
No, you get less. Because if you hook up with a chick...
Oh, they take my $100,000 out.
We collectively lose money.
Right. So you're not wrong. The pressure is real. I got you. And then, people can't help it, right? We've all been through this phase, right? Where it's like, we can't do anything. We'll just sleep near each other.
BS.
No, yeah. Man.
Correct.
What was that thing you said the Amish kids were doing? What do you call it?
It's not Amish. It's the Mormons, and they're doing soaking.
Yeah. I mean, like, that's their version of we did not have sex.
We'll be friends with benefits, but we won't do it. You know, we're not going to fall in love with each other.
And I'm convinced soaking is just a joke.
It's got to be.
Unfortunately, it's not.
I really. You say that. You got to do a deep dive. You really think two 18-year-old kids are sitting there.
Yes.
The car's already in the garage, and they're never going to rev it.
It's Mormons, dude.
I'm telling you.
They are committed people.
Hey, look, they might say it. They don't drink either. I've been to a game in Utah. Right? Yeah. Like, there was some drinking. You go to a game in Provo, at the BYU. Somebody's drinking in that parking lot.
In my experience, every religion is pretty strict because it's got strict rules, whatever it might be, and 90% of them are full of it.
Sure.
Well, you might be religious and you do the right thing and you go to church. It's not that. But certain rules, especially when it comes to food or sex, because I used to work for a Jewish guy that was eating a cheesesteak on Passover, man. And dude went to synagogue. He wore the yarmulke. Sure. You know, and I'm like, look, I know you buy into your thing, but also you're eating a cheesesteak on Passover,
as
man.
As long as there's rules of forgiveness, people will break.
Look, I grew up super Catholic, right? Irish Catholic. And, like, big thing is in Lent, you can't eat meat on Fridays.
Uh-huh. Sure.
But if there was any type of event or sports event that you got together...
Want another rib?
You get the priest to give you, what was it, dispensation or something. Basically, it's like, go ahead, eat all the meat you want.
Yeah.
So, like, I've been a part of that. So, like, I'm with Thrill. Like, I get the Mormon kids are saying this. I just don't buy it.
Now, I don't think it lasts long. I think after a while, they'll break. I'm like, oh, no, I'm effing.
For sure.
But,
Yeah. You know, Mike, honestly, I don't know why. That Mormon thing has been a topic of conversation of my life for like 2 weeks.
Because it's just so crazy to me. Like, just have sex.
Well, if you're not going to be able to drink caffeine, alcohol, or do drugs, you're one outlet of sex.
Yeah.
And root beer.
So,
I've heard at BYU games, they love root beer. No caffeine.
There's no caffeine in it.
So you can drink.
Stop trying to get more people to go to BYU.
Right.
I mean, are they paying you right now for this?
Miles was in the office earlier, and I go, hey, man, I'm watching this video. This guy, Snapback Sports, he went to a game. He found the one tailgate you could drink at. So that's why I've been big on the BYU.
Are they big on 7-Up, too? I know it's big on root beer, but...
I just know when I went to the Utah game, and obviously Utah fans, Salt Lake City is kind of, I think, almost like 50-50 now of Mormons and not.
Yeah.
But there still wasn't a lot of drinking. I found the Husky tailgate.
There it is.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like the one guy I was with is Mormon, a practicing Mormon. And I was like, well, what do people do? And he's like, at BYU, he's like, oh, yeah, like they don't even sell caffeine, but it's root beer. That's like their thing.
Huh. Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
I'd go Sprite, but you know. I just don't like root beer, that's all.
I love root beer.
Of course you do.
What the hell's that mean?
I prefer Sprite, but root beer's delicious. All right, so Apple TV made a 5-part docuseries on Martin Scorsese.
All right.
Titled Mr. Scorsese.
Of course it's a 5-part documentary. Can't be short with this man.
What I say?
That's a good point.
It's a 5-part documentary.
No, I'm going to say all of his movies are like 18 hours long, so it makes sense. It would have been 3 parts, but it's about you.
Right.
I still like my mom was all fired up, because remember he made The Irishman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's like, there's no Irish guys in it.
It's all Italian,
it's De Niro.
The usual suspects.
Right. Speaking of which, so one name that's not in it at all is Joe Pesci. The director said he was the only person to say no, right? Because, look, he's in Raging Bull. He's in The Irishman. He's in Casino. He's in Goodfellas, which he got an Oscar for.
Yeah.
So everybody knows Joe Pesci. But basically, the reason he wanted, he didn't want to do it is because, like, he was kind of that guy. Like, he grew up in a real gangster neighborhood. He grew up around criminals in Newark, New Jersey.
He has that vibe.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, like she said, Joe doesn't want to talk about the experiences that made him so perfect for this kind of role. Like, basically, like, I don't want to talk about it. Like, it wasn't great.
How did you learn how to do this? Because right. I did it.
Yeah. Right.
Like, isn't that how he got the job in Casino? Is that he just knew how all this stuff worked?
I've heard something like that.
He was already wrapped up in that scene.
Pretty established at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Joe, she says, quote, Joe was marked far worse than Marty was by those people. I don't think he wants to go over all that. Yeah. So basically, he's just like, look, I lived through it. Like, I don't want to sit here and explain how I was so good at this role. Because probably Joe Pesci saw some really bad stuff.
He was also, he was also mimicking people he knew for who were real.
Yeah.
I mean, so, like, you know, somebody's watching this going like, Joe's being me. I'm going to kill him. He owes me money.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, he took my role. I could have been a star.
And now you want him to name these people in a documentary?
Right. I'll just follow Tony Z, man. Or
right,
whatever.
Exactly.
Whatever.
Yeah, I mean, like, you look at, like, Mike Tyson, right? He's famous for growing up in a really bad neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Ironically, all New Yorkers. But he's talked about it a few times, but he doesn't go back to that place a ton.
No, he doesn't. He just says, I came from this place. That's about as far back as it goes, but he doesn't tell you much about it.
Right, and I think for Joe Pesci, it's just like, it was so bad. Like, I don't want to.
How about Home Alone, guys? Can we talk about that?
Yeah, that's a good point. Or Scorsese didn't direct that one. Shocking.
Good point. We'd still be watching it if he did.
M. Night Shyamalan. Is that his real name?
M. Night?
Yeah.
I'm sure it is.
Let's see what we got here.
All right.
I like to call him M. Night Shyamalan.
I don't think he picked that.
Yeah, I would say all the names you could pick. I don't think you take one that's hard for people to say.
Well, he's making a TV series about the Magic 8-Ball.
You mean the one you shake?
Correct.
Okay. Not cocaine.
Just checking.
No, his name is not M. Night. That is a moniker because his name is kind of hard to say.
Give it a shot.
Minaj Neliyatu M. Night Shyamalan.
Okay.
You think about how hard Shyamalan was, how hard that was to figure out when he first came out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the rest of his name is just as hard.
That's why I did the Shyamalama Ding Dong. It wasn't to make fun of him, but it was, I know Shyamalama Ding Dong. That way, I know when I see his name, I just know it's pronounced Shyamalan.
Right.
Yeah, and look, I get, you know, like, I'm Ted Smith, right? So, like, I don't run into this a ton, but, like, I get it. If you got a weird-sounding name to most people in the country you live in, it's like, I don't want to go through this.
Yeah, when the spelling doesn't help people pronounce
it. It's also hard to remember those people's names, because unless you beat it into your head.
Right, it's like, man, I know who they are, but I don't remember your name, because it was 27 letters.
They said the show will, quote, aim to reimagine the classic Magic 8-Ball as a centerpiece of a high-concept, character-driven, supernatural drama that blends psychological intensity with cultural intrigue.
Okay. I mean, that's cool and all, but it only had, like, six different amps.
So they're basically going to use it as, like, a Ouija board for what is the sign to come.
That's the sense I get.
I guess. I mean, I remember living in that house in Baltimore. We'd be drinking before we went out and just be like, are we going to get laid tonight?
Yeah, I know. Ask again later.
Right.
No.
All right, no. Right, and it was never.
Shake it again.
All answers point towards yes.
See, I feel like M. Night Shyamalan would have a good concept for where to take this movie. However, make him a writer. Don't allow him to take the entirety of the movie. Like, he will have a great idea for what it should be. Let him do that and then quietly take it from him to then actually make a good movie.
But I believe that to be true of Scorsese. I believe that's true of M. Night Shyamalan, and I believe that to be true of George Lucas.
Really?
Good, yeah. His directing is awful, and his dialogue is so stupid.
It's gotten bad. His directing in the old day was really, really good, but you're right. It's
I don't think it was good then. No. I think we had not seen anything like it, right? Because if you go back and watch Star Wars now, you're like, this dialogue is so stupid.
Right.
And nothing against the guy. Great concept, and then let professionals do it.
It's kind of like Stephen King. I love the way that the man writes. He's got a lot of great concepts. The last 20% of the book, let somebody else write it.
Really?
He does not know how to end a movie. End a story, rather.
And I feel like in recent years, sometimes he just writes stuff and uses a different name because he wants people to have a view of what it's going to be.
Exactly.
For my college football sickos out there, yes, I was watching midweek Conference USA yesterday. I told Mike.
Who played?
It was Missouri.
Delaware played.
Well, I saw the Delaware game. They won. And then it was New Mexico State and Missouri State.
Come on, man.
One of the ugliest football games I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But went to overtime.
He's happy.
I'm a psycho.
Sell it.
Yeah.
Go to BYU, kids.
You got Thursday Night Football tonight. You got the Chargers hosting the Vikings.
They got root beer. Thank you, Tim. We appreciate it. You're listening to The Men's Room.
The Men's Room returns with Miles and Thrill. Now, let's see what's happening in the real world.
All right, here we go. A patient undergoing brain surgery annoys the hell out of the doctors by playing the clarinet the entire time. Meanwhile, an 89-year-old woman eating pizza at a pizza parlor didn't expect to be the victim of crime. Woman goes to see her uncle in a senior center, discovered he's been dead for 4 days. Man in England now busted with 12 grand in coke, as his lips had a white frosty glaze. And a Washington man doing DoorDash gives a couple with her 7 children on the side of the road a ride.
Huh.
So they stab him in the neck and steal his car.
Damn.
It is time for your headlines.
Now, it's time to hit the headlines. Here's Mike Hawk.
All right, our top three, we go to New Jersey, where an 89-year-old woman has been shot. She was enjoying some delicious pizza inside of a local shop when she suddenly was struck by a bullet. Authorities were called, and luckily the woman was only struck in the leg, but she was taken to the hospital where she currently resides in stable condition. The shooter was also apprehended by authorities and served his charges. Turns out that he was enjoying a meal of his own with his friends inside of the shop and felt that would be the appropriate time to pull his pistol from its holster and rack his weapon to clear it.
In a pizza parlor.
This was done improperly, and the gun fired the round that it had in the chamber.
In a pizza parlor.
In a pizza parlor.
In a pizza parlor.
Do that in your car. Leave the gun in your car.
You're going to a pizza parlor, and you're packing heat.
Right.
Jesus.
Even if you think for a hot second, like, doggone it, I didn't clear my weapon. All right, leave it in there. It ain't doing nothing.
Right. That's why I face the door. If somebody comes in, because I'm taking all the pepperoni, I just shoot him.
I just cap him.
Hey, man, you ain't taking...
I mean, even just walk outside.
Right.
Yeah, worry about it later. Or learn how to own a gun.
Right.
If you're going to own a gun.
No kidding, dude.
That's all.
Know what you're doing.
You got to get a license to drive a car. That's all. Just these little baby steps.
Right.
Hey, dude, it happened to me a week ago. Right? Somebody was showing off a weapon, and they go, it's clear. And I said, yeah.
No.
You always got to clear it a second time.
Right.
And he kind of starts giggling. He's like, you're absolutely right. My bad.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for handing. Like, we should both keep doing this.
Yes.
Clear it. Hand it. Tell you it's clear. Mike should still clear it.
Exactly.
Right.
Follow the rules.
God, it's stupid.
Speaking of which, we go to Rhode Island, where it pays to follow the rules. The man was wanted by authorities on several outstanding court warrants. Luckily, they didn't have to look farther than the man's own home to track him down. They gained entry and found him in the garage and took him into custody. But what would this story be if we didn't have a little extra to rack up the charges? Upon searching the man after they arrested him, they found $12,000 worth of cocaine in his possession.
Woot woot!
In addition to his outstanding warrants, he's now added possession with an intent to deliver and possession in proximity to a school.
See, this is where I tell my judge, look, you tell my attorney, you tell the judge, I wasn't intending to distribute this to anybody
at all.
This is my stash for the rest of my life.
Yeah. This is me, man.
I know it's a lot. It's called bulk.
This is good stuff. I'm keeping it.
Yeah.
How much toilet paper do you have in your home? You plan on selling it?
I'm dead serious. Okay, we'll drop the distribution charge.
That's right.
We'll just get you for possession. Dead serious, man. This is my party favors for life.
That's right. Man, I ain't sharing this crap.
No.
How many beers you got in your fridge at home?
Are you drinking them all?
Yeah. Stupid. Not near as funny. Horrible night right here at home. A man in Squim is in the hospital after trying to just do the right thing. He's a 60-year-old man who was driving for DoorDash one night when he saw a family walking on the side of the road. A mother, a father, and their 7 children ranging between 6 months and 9 years old.
Jesus.
I know.
And he got them all in his vehicle.
It's a gaggle. I know, right? He picked them all up.
What was he driving, do they say?
It probably does. I didn't.
Mini Cooper. One of those Toyota Yaris's.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Feeling the good Samaritan spirit, the man stopped and offered a ride to the whole family while he was making his deliveries. But out of nowhere and unprovoked, the dad of the family armed himself with a knife inside the car and stabbed the driver several times.
Hey, kids, watch this.
The driver fell out of the vehicle, which was then stolen by the family because why not?
Why not?
Who left him behind to succumb to his fate? The car was...
Oh, he died?
He's still alive.
No, he's still alive. But
okay.
they left him for dead, basically. You stabbed the man all that much and then just kick him out the doggone door? Come on. The car was eventually found by authorities in South Kitsap County with the parents passed out in the front seats. Well done, guys. And the children were in their back in less than acceptable condition. The clothes that they were wearing, they didn't have seatbelts on or anything like that. This
it's exactly what you think it was. The pair were arrested on multiple charges and the children were taken by CPS. Our DoorDash driver goes by the name Melvin Swaggerty, and his family has set up a GoFundMe to help with the medical costs and losses that he incurred from the attack because he's 60 years old doing DoorDash.
Yeah.
Here's one of two reasons why you're 60 years old doing DoorDash.
You hate your wife or you need the cash.
Let's see here. Aid for Christina's dad stabbed while helping is the name of that GoFundMe where they're just shy of funding their goal if you guys want to go and help that out. If you so choose. One more terrible story.
Cool.
We go to Arizona where a woman caught a sight that she'll never forget. She went to visit her uncle who had been living in an assisted living facility since his wife passed. She arrived at his studio apartment and saw him sitting in his chair. And much like in the movie Psycho, what she saw was the face of her uncle who had clearly passed a while earlier. What's more is this facility has a security measure in place where residents are to push a button every morning to inform staff that they're okay. There's a lot of people living there. They can't check every door, so they hit a button every morning when they wake up. If they don't, an employee will drop in to check on him.
In theory.
Yeah. She demanded information after what she saw and found that nobody had checked on him for 4 days.
Apparently, he was pretty gaunt.
Yes. Eyes sunken in, cheeks were she said it looked like a skeleton with skin on it.
Yay!
Which lined up with what authorities believe that he had passed. She's now taking action against the facility to ensure that others don't suffer what she did.
God.
Which, nobody needs to see their family like that.
No.
There's a reason why we put blankets over people.
Well, the problem was he just checked in there because his wife passed away.
Right.
So that was her aunt.
Right.
So that was that's her uncle. And she's like, look, I will make sure that he is taken care of.
Exactly.
So I'll be the one to take care of. Don't worry, you know, aunt.
You had one job, Sheila.
When she passed on, she told her, I will take care of the uncle. Don't worry.
And she's kicking herself for that very reason.
Yeah.
As she told him. Yeah. So that's how that's going. Men's Room Sports, college football on ESPN2, NBA basketball on ESPN, Thursday night football on Amazon, and the Kraken are currently underway in Winnipeg. Taking on the Jets on Channel 5, Kong, and Amazon. As far as your weather, mainly cloudy with a low of 55 tonight, and tomorrow they expect a high of 59.
And a nightmare.
And rain. Mm-hmm. That's it for your headlines with that, Mike Hawkinson.
Thank you, sir. We'll see you for the return of Ted versus the FCC. It is a Bad Choice Friday. Lovely Jolene coming up in seconds.
Yes, indeed. It's all true, but in the meantime, well, we be all about this bitch. So until next time, please do what you do best. And for Aletha's sake, stay beautiful.
The Men's Room has been taped before a live studio audience. Wardrobe and makeup provided by Mantastic Limited. This has been a presentation of the Men's Room Radio Network.
Oh, man!
A Double Flush production.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.